11 o'clock hour, Wildy and Couch begins now, but it continues with your calls. And we will not be playing end of show trivia, so be ready for Double Trivia Wednesday on Wisconsin Geography. Let's start with the calls again with Jeff in Milwaukee. Jeff, you held on forever. I hope it was worth it, buddy. How you doing?
Yeah, thanks. It's always worth it as long as Jesse doesn't cut me off too early. I think it'll be great. So,
don't tempt me, Jeff.
All right. Yeah, I know, Jesse. I know you're the one with the power. I know your odds.
Okay, just ask.
I'll behave here. Yeah. So, okay. I called yesterday after the show, and my pause
using
was
the
really...
pseudonym of Phil or no?
No, no. So we're gonna get to Phil in a minute. He's he's one. Phil is one disturbed fella. Anyways, I don't know. I mean, it's just unbelievable. All right, so I'm gonna give kudos to both you guys. Jason, I'm glad that you're gonna be writing an article about Brooks. All that guy does, if you look at people that are making plays relative to the amount of time that they're on the field, I mean, this guy just, he reminds me, I'll tell you, reminds me of, the guy that used to do this all the time was Cullen Jenkins, when they'd bring him in and all he did was make plays, and you're like, why isn't this guy playing more? So I'll be thrilled to see the article you're going to write, and I'm totally great idea. That guy just makes plays.
And considering how much comparing I do, now I'm going to have to compare him to Cullen Jenkins. Right after I get done with the comparison between Evan Williams and Micah Hyde story, which I'll also be working on.
All right. That's great. I mean, you know, reference points are important. Okay. So the positives are really Love and his decision-making. I thought his decision-making, like I said last night, was great. And also I want to give a positive to LaFleur. And the reason is he said after the game, what's going to haunt him about the game is after they recovered the fumble, they had a three-play sequence where they went nowhere. And I just love that bugged him, because it bugged me too. It's like, you know, they kind of passed three times in a row instead of running the ball, chewing up the clock, and trying to move in a little bit more. So I just love the fact. I love the fact that it bothered the guy, that he's just always striving to get better. And I think people need to, and, you know, Jason, you've talked about this a little bit, they need to put Love in perspective. I think the guy is just going to keep getting better. And like I said, Aaron Rodgers' accuracy didn't really start to kind of drive in until the end of his second year, middle of his third year. This guy is just going to keep getting better. And his relationship with LaFleur, the trust that those two have, it's so obvious, and especially referenced, juxtaposed to when Rodgers was leaving, that you compare the trust the two of them have there compared to what Jordan and him have now. It's totally different, and you can see it. And I think Jordan Love, he's not going to be a rocket ship, but he's going to continue to get better. Now, you guys have asked a lot of questions. Well, how do you put this game in perspective relative to who they played? It's very simple. They're getting better every week. I do think that the game against Houston is going to be a defining game, meaning they need to beat that team. They need to beat a team with a winning record. And I think it's going to be a huge game, and I think they will do it. But that's how I would put it in perspective in terms of the Cardinals. People want to be negative about it. Let them be negative, but they played better, and they're getting better every week. My final thing is about Dobbs, and I'm going to ask you a question, Jason. First of all, I know you guys got a lot of heat about the mental health stuff last week. I actually thought you guys were really, really sensitive about it and really good about it, and were handled it as well as you could. Dobbs, you know, you look at how he reacted yesterday. I don't know why everybody's making such a big deal about it. That's not any different than how the guy's been for the last two or three years. Mm-hmm. That is who he is. It would have been worse if the guy was Mr. Animated before this and then he reacted. This just kind of is who he is. And so my question is, and don't get upset, just a question. Jason, this guy is like the anti-Jason. He's an introvert. He doesn't like talking about his feelings. He's not very forward with all that stuff. And you're a writer that is an extrovert, loves talking about the human condition, loves talking about feelings. Is it harder for you because he is just so different from you? That was just a question I
had. Yeah, no, it's so it I totally understand different people being different with us and being different from me. I think if you listen to what I've said about him, I'm fine with him not liking the part about talking to us. I get that. I did think that it was part of moving forward for their team. And I do think that the team felt the same way about him. I don't think that their PR guys were massaging the situation to try and get him to talk because they just wanted us to get what we wanted. I think they felt like it was a part of the equation for moving this story forward and not having to deal with that hanging over them. If you want to call it an issue, we can, was from the number of conversations I had with guys in the locker room, and I'm talking a bunch of different guys. I think there was we accept Romeo for who he is, but the way he chose to go about this issue without letting any of us in, even if you're an introvert on the team, and Tausch, you've played on a much higher level than me, so everybody's got a different personality. But does it make sense that there were guys that were, I don't want to say angry, because angry is too strong, but something stronger than just disappointed that, hey, we're a team, we're a brother. You kept hearing it. They kept using it yesterday again. We're a brotherhood. We're a family. That they felt like it was like, come on, man, you know better than that. We're here for you, and you didn't even bother to talk to us. That's the part that I think has struck me way more than anything about how he behaves with us.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
844-770-3776. Okay.
No, it's a complicated issue. I don't want to poo-poo it. I also want to delve into it. I am more than happy we have. I know that this is something that Packer fans are very curious about. My mindset on this hasn't changed all that much. Give you a little tease into where I'm at. Yesterday was great for Romeo to go out and score two touchdowns. It was great for obviously the team and that whole process. But I don't think much has changed in this whole ordeal. I think this is still a lot of Natasha Bedingfield, if I'm being honest with you.
Okay. 844-770-3776. While Jesse's worrying about some sort of controversy on Twitter
about
whether or not he deserved to get points yesterday.
Cheaters. Off of the,
let's just go to Patrick in Minneapolis and skip over your concerns about your precious lead in the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Patrick, good morning. Thanks for holding on. What do you got?
Morning, fellas. Long time no talk.
Yeah, where you been?
Positive. Well, yeah, now I have a class during the call-in show on Mondays.
Would you skip today,
I know.
What are you doing? Where's your priorities? What are you doing?
I took a personal day. So I ran the Chicago Marathon yesterday, and I took a personal day today to,
it's a pretty good
treat the body well.
Sweet brag, bro.
So I just did the decathlon. I just won an Olympic medal. No big deal.
Well, you asked what I was doing at home. I was just answering.
That's true.
Very fair.
Yeah,
very fair.
Hey.
Yeah.
By the way, if I ever ran a marathon, you would know about it on a daily basis. So I'm surprised it took you that long to tell. How did you finish, Patrick?
I did well. I PR'd and qualified for Boston, although you'll probably think that's another flex, huh?
No, it's an awesome flex. Heck yeah.
Because
you should be flexing all over it.
Just because it's a flex doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
No,
congratulations.
Okay, that's what that's.
Well, I'm somewhat uncomfortable talking about my. Let's get out of the positives.
All right, Romeo.
Okay? getting out to an early lead, a dominant lead, which allows the team to then maintain a balanced attack rather than having to shift the game plan and play catch up. As was the case a few weeks ago. Now I don't know whether Arizona is any good. I tend to think it's too soon to say. Maybe they could turn it around, maybe not. There's a lot of road left to exhaust Wildy's or was it Tausch's metaphor. I do know that you can only play who's on your schedule, and the difference between winning and losing is awfully slim in the NFL. If Arizona isn't any good, and they certainly weren't yesterday, the Packers did to them what they should have done. They won and won decisively, and thanks in no small part because they got out of the gates fast. So is this where I give Tausch a chance to respond, or should I just roll into my...
Yeah, keep rolling. I don't know what we're supposed to do now.
Just keep rolling.
Yeah. No, you got off to a fast start in the marathon, too.
I've been writing notes down, Patrick, if I have something
I can jump in later. Well, yeah, and so I hope you'll understand, I wasn't able to watch the game live, but,
Because you ran a marathon.
Yep.
Well, and but I was...
I heard you had a PR, Patrick. Is that accurate, too? You had a PR in your marathon?
I will say this. I donned my Packers sweatsuit in down Michigan Avenue all afternoon yesterday.
Awesome.
So that's something I'm
where
willing
does that
to,
finish?
You know.
Where does that finish, the marathon down there?
It's Grant Park, south side of Grant Park.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your negative?
I haven't had a chance to check the tape. I did, looking at the box score, I was trying to interpret the narratives it offered. And here's my real negative, although it's probably more of a question for you guys. It appears, at least from the stat line, that despite winning the takeaway battle, the D didn't get home to the QB. No sacks, minimal TFLs, QB pressures. So are we still dealing with a pass rush issue, or are those stats misleading?
I think you always want to have more pressures than what you had, but Kyler Murray, the way he beat San Francisco and the way he beats teams is by getting outside of the pocket and using his legs and then being able to make big plays by putting a ton of pressure on your perimeter because he's outside of there, and he had the 50-some-odd-yard touchdown run against San Francisco, that if you eliminate that, you probably win the game. Mm-hmm. I really think Jeff Hafley's made it a point to his edge guys. And I saw this a few times with, I think it was Kingsley, where they could have went and made a move on their offensive tackle, but they made sure to keep their shoulder above where Kyler, so he couldn't bounce outside, and to stay level with him so that he couldn't sneak inside. You know what I mean? So it wasn't one of these, all hell, let's get to the quarterback. It was be smart with your rush. Be disciplined with your rush lanes and don't let him. So even though there wasn't these, you know, four sacks and a bunch of pressures, the fact that they held him to 16 yards rushing, I thought was more important than two sacks. You left him in there. You didn't let him make the big chunk explosives. And I thought that was the key to the game, and the Packers executed it well.
Patrick, congrats.
Hope that answers your question.
It does. It has to, because we have more calls to get to. Patrick, congrats on the marathon. We appreciate you taking your personal
appreciate
day.
Thank you.
All right. I want to get some more calls, 844-770-3776, and a couple of text messages. Before we can do that, I don't know where they go from here, but I still think that I can't remember who, we've had so many calls, but someone talked about this Texans game. I'm not going to move the goalpost. Okay, I am putting the goalpost in the ground, and you will not hear me after they beat the Texans on Sunday then saying on Monday, well, maybe the Texans aren't very good. That one I believe in. So we'll see what that game ends up being. I believe the Packers are favored right now by 3, which is obviously the home field advantage number, generally speaking. So it's a pick'em game. But I'm eager to see how they perform against the Texans. And you're eager to hear Tausch tell us about AmFam.
Well, I love talking AmFam, and this is the last week to get in. Packer fans looking for that ultimate game day experience? Well, American Family Insurance has you covered. Very own VIP tailgate. And you cheer on the Packers from great seats. Enter the Dream Weekend Sweepstakes to win these amazing game tickets. Private tailgate. You get a bunch of Jordan Love merch, much, much more. Don't miss out. Go to amfam.com/Packers to enter. You have, well, I guess you got a week. You'll have until next Monday at 11:59 to get in. amfam.com/Packers to enter. No purchase is necessary. Dream fearlessly. Insure carefully.
few more calls to wrap things up on the phone lines, and then we'll get to your texts as well. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Calls here. Dan, Caleb, and Jamon, and then we'll. Or is it Jamon? Like Jamon Moore. Great Packers career, Jamon.
Jamon. And I actually.
All right, I got it right the first time.
Yep, you were right on it.
All right, well, let's start with Dan in Kewaskum, both of which I just pronounced correctly. Dan, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Absolutely nailed it. Good job, Jason.
Great
discussion. Great discussion this morning. I've got a couple things that I want to make mention of. I'm going to start with my positives as well, dovetailing off the last call. Absolutely thought that the defensive line's lane containment was out of bounds. You saw, actually, I think you heard Matt LaFleur say that Kyler Murray's like a water bug and really hard to contain, and I think they did that. He wound up with 14 rushing yards, which, you know, when you think about it, is pretty unique. And then also they kept James Conner, the workhorse, in check as well. So two really good positives there. On the negative side, and again, I know we're nitpicking because we won, and we've already belabored the point on kicking, but I am going to stick with special teams. You saw that a couple weeks ago, Christian Watson went down with an ankle, and then now Dontavian Wicks has a shoulder that might make him week to week.
Yeah.
Please explain to me why we still have Jaden Reed back there collecting punts in one of the more risky plays in all of football. And I know he's a professional and he's a world-class athlete, but all it takes is one, you know, crazy hit on a play that we just need somebody to fair catch because our offense is that good. So maybe that's kind of my negative. Why do we still have that happening?
Quick question for you. So you just made that point. Will you be okay at the end of the year when old boys special teams rankings come out? Because we've had this discussion before. Oh, don't even return the kick because Aaron Rodgers' offense is better. Just take it at the 20 and go. You're going to be all right with just putting a, you know, just catch the balls, fair catch every punt. Nobody gets hurt. And then when at the end of the year you say, why do we have no return yards until Swervin Irvin came in? That's why I think they want to have a spark. And they want someone that can make a play in the punt return game.
That's the statistic I think most of us would look at last. It is not the priority.
Yeah.
Put Bo Melton back there, wave his hand above his shoulder, catch the ball, and move on.
Well, I would add this to Dan's point. As long as the special teams aren't giving up a ton of huge plays, like part of the problem with some previous regimes, and look, I don't think, as much as I like my Rich Bisaccia back and forths, I don't think he has changed the special teams ethos in a huge way.
Kicking's gotten worse.
Right.
Kicking's gotten worse.
Right. So all I'm saying is if I have to play it safe with Jaden Reed and sacrifice having explosive returns, I am willing to accept that as long as your coverage units are so good that they're not giving up returns.
Well, but I don't want you putting Xavier McKinney out there because I don't want him getting hurt. You guys get what I'm saying?
We definitely do.
You guys understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, we totally do. All right, let's finish up the calls. Let's go to Caleb in Grafton. Caleb, thanks for holding on so long, buddy. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Couple positives. The first I'm going to start with is Christian Watson. I mean, yeah, that 55-yard touchdown was incredible where he got open. But the thing that I was really impressed with him yesterday was his leadership. I look at his celebration with Romeo Doubs after his first touchdown, just welcoming him back. He was all smiles and just so happy for his friend and teammate. I mean, you talk about a guy that you want to lead the wide receiving core that you drafted him for, someone that can make those explosive plays but also demonstrate significant leadership. I think Christian Watson demonstrated that beautifully last week and then through the situation and then today or yesterday.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Second positive. Yeah. Yeah, he was great. Second positive has got to be Evan Williams. I mean, you talk about development, forcing that fumble.
Bam.
He's been great in coverage. just really, really feeling good about him in the future. Spence mentioned before already, but I think the containment and run defense yesterday was pretty spot on given the ability of Kyler Murray, as was demonstrated in the San Francisco game. The fact that we didn't give up anything like that was pretty impressive. Getting on to a couple negatives, I think our mid-range pass defense struggled a little bit yesterday. Kind of anything in that 8 to 15 yarders, I think that's how they were able to drive down the field quite a few times, and we were able to force some fumbles or force some punts kind of that pinned us back deep. But I think that's something where we could improve on a little bit. And then this is really nitpicking, but I think Jordan Love I don't think he put the ball too much at risk yesterday, but I think that long touchdown to Romeo Doubs is a pretty 50-50 ball that kind of got lucky that his coverage kind of got lost. And then when he gets rid of the ball, I wish he would just throw it out of bounds instead of throwing it inbounds. And yeah, it might not technically be at risk, but you never, I mean, there could be a sneaky cornerback or safety that's going to come up and pick that off when you might not see him because he's behind your receiver. So a couple things for you guys to think about. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Victory Monday.
Yeah, Caleb, we appreciate you. Thanks. So
Christian Watson's points, I think we've pounded. I couldn't agree more. I think he,
and Evan Williams,
in my mind, who I already had as, from a physical standpoint, a difference maker, he has elevated himself in my book as well, just on how he's handled this scenario. He has been fantastic. I really hope he stays healthy and can really show what he's all about this second half of this run. Because, like LaFleur said, this offense won't be the same if he's not out there. I know Jesse disagrees with the head football coach and everybody else up at Lambeau and every other football expert, but he is a difference maker. He is.
What about Caleb's point about the throw downfield to Doubs on the second touchdown?
It's an all-out blitz. It was, I don't know if it was what third down. I don't remember exactly what the down and distance was. It's a 50-50 ball to a guy you trust. Yes, if old boy had a little bit better awareness, maybe he picks it off. Maybe he doesn't. But you know what? He knows Romeo's got the awareness to find the football. And then for him to slam the brakes on and have the awareness to do all that, I didn't have a problem with it. You tried to make a play. It wasn't like he threw. I feel a heck of a lot better about him throwing that ball off of one leg going backwards than throwing it into triple coverage last week when he had a firm base. Mm-hmm. Feel a lot better about it.
Let's get to one last call for the day, and then we'll get to your texts coming up next. Let's go to Jamon in Dallas. Oh, Jamon, I hope you're keeping an eye on
very,
Big Mike
very,
for us
very
while you're down there.
Frustrating.
How's it going, Jamon?
It's good. How you guys doing?
We are good. Thanks for the call. What do you got for us?
I have a positive. The positive is the Packers won. Like I say, every day you wake up in the morning and hear that the Packers win, it's always a positive. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, it was just the Cardinals, but, I mean.
Wildy.
That would be me.
Wildy's a lot of people.
That's me. Yeah, that's me. Fair.
We're supposed to come in and handle business like that. You know, you're not supposed to play with your food. Mm-hmm. Go in, get it out the way, and you prepare for next week. But you have Houston, which is going to be a tough battle. So don't go in and play with Arizona. A negative I have, this year I decided to draft Josh Jacobs for my fantasy. Not working out too well. We go 3 and out, and we're forced to kick a field goal, which we pooped. I'm not sure why we're paying a guy $40 million and we're not just punching the ball down everybody's throat. I'm not sure if the running game is a problem and we're just trying to avoid it, or it's getting overseen because the offense is so explosive. But, I mean, I know later on in the year, those are one of the things that we're going to have to work on. Definitely we're planning on making a deep run in the playoffs. Like teams like Detroit, you know, they can just run it down your throat, play actions here, you know. I feel like it's something that we're kind of overshadowing because, like I said, the offense, the passing game is so explosive. So just kind of the things that I'm just kind of curious about. Are we shying away from it? Is the run game not as good as we expect in this year? What's really going on?
Great call, Jermon. We appreciate you. All right, so let's talk a little bit about his point about what they've gotten out of Josh Jacobs. Because you did point
out... He's kind of irritated he's not scoring as many touchdowns. That's really what we're talking about.
Yeah, he got in the end zone last week for his first Packers touchdown. They have said very, very publicly that they want to get him his first touchdown reception of his career because he has set the NFL record for most receptions in a career without a touchdown. But he has been kind of the dirty work running back. And then Jordan Love's thrown four touchdown passes in each of his last two home games. No quarterback had done that since Brett Favre in 1995. Aaron Rodgers threw a lot of touchdown passes, but he never had four in back-to-back home games like Love did this game and the Minnesota game. But what do you make of Jacobs' role before we go to text messages? How do you feel about
it? I think he's doing exactly what the Packers hope for. He is... I'm going to get you hard yards. We're going to find different ways to get you the football. You're our bell cow. And I think was the Tennessee game or the Indy game where he had 32 touches and we
32.
All were like, oh, my God. Oh, slow down. That's what he's here for. He is going to get – if things are humming, if he had had more production, I think, on those carries, he would have had 25 yesterday. But now – I love the fact that Emmanuel Wilson is – I don't think there's any type of hesitancy to say it's his turn. Get him in there. Because he's bringing a little juice. And as Jaden Reed – what's Jaden Reed's quote?
If you're
you ain't
useless,
got no juice, I ain't got no use. I love it. And we need to, that needs to be part of the show because he's bringing the juice. Josh Jacobs, you just see again – I think this is one of those deals where you're kind of like, all right, you're doing your thing. It gets to be snowy, gets a little windy, gets some crappy weather. We're going to really crank this thing up, and we want him to be ready to go when the money's on the table, late December, January, in playoff football. I think that's what this is headed. Keep him healthy. He's a bell cow dude. He is a bell cow dude, and I think that's what we're seeing.
If you're juiceless, you're useless, would be that Jaden Reed.
If you ain't got no juice, I ain't got no use. I like that better. And then I don't have to say I stole it from Josh Jacobs. I can say it's my own.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but
it's very
similar.
It would have been Jaden Reed.
Like, you stole it, and it's not as good. So that's like the worst-case scenario. At least steal when it's good.
You maybe think it's not as good.
It's not as good.
I think it's
you always improve things. You didn't improve that one there. Sorry.
No, I did.
No, you didn't.
If
also,
you're juiceless, you're useless.
It's a much better phrase.
I disagree.
Bob Moore wishes he had come up with that.
Isn't better. Sorry. How did your prize picks go? Were you useless there and juiceless there too?
So I will tell you, I have my entries right here. Kyler Murray, I went more on 214.5. Guess what he ended up with?
214.
So I lost there. Jaden Daniels, I went more. Won that one, no problem. Anthony Richardson, I went less, way before he DNP'd, so I didn't even get that entry. And then Jordan Love, I went less, as we talked about on Friday. 259.5, what did he end up with?
258.
Boy, Prize Picks was on their game. I had fun with it. Oh, so if Kyler had just thrown, maybe they'll adjust the stat and give him one more yard. And if that's the case, Old T's a big winner. But I lost by 0.5, and I still had fun because Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Over 10 million users. Prize Picks, the easiest, most exciting. Talk about exciting. That was exciting yesterday. All you do, pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings rolling. Get in on the daily action with your pals. Become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks. I had 4 correct picks. Could have won 100 times. Didn't work out. Prize Picks, the best way to win real money this season. Make your picks less than 60 seconds. It's your sports opinion into real money all season long on Prize Picks. $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to get that $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Download the app today. Use code WI for that $50 instantly after you use your $5 lineup. Again, that's code 50, that's code WI for the $50. Prize Picks, run
your
game.
More next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
All right, Jesse, I know you've been curating the mountains of text messages. We didn't get to many today. You got one or two that stood out, though?
JR in the car, since we talked so much about Jordan Love's encounters with Chris Barnes, my negative is that the Packers didn't resign. But resign is always such a goofy word because it looks like
resign.
Because it's also resign.
Need the hyphen.
My negative is that the Packers didn't resign Barnes. He seemed to be the only player on the Cardinals defense that made any plays.
We're already begging, like, how do we get Edgerrin Cooper on the field more, and you want Chris Barnes back?
Well, I think...
No, thanks.
I think Chris Barnes previously might have helped, but, yeah, they're better now at linebacker, and they certainly
Chris
are better
Chris Barnes, hey, you're doing a nice job on a, as Jason said, one of the worst teams he's ever seen.
That's not what
I... Keep working.
Next.
In essence.
It's not
in
anywhere
essence,
close
that's
to what I said. I just said they weren't very good. That's what I said.
Always want to check the text.
The Chicago White Sox of football. That's not what I said.
Always great when we get a text from this person. I will reveal who it is in a moment.
Dan Kelly?
Erica.
Regarding the Narv dog.
Matt LePay.
What about bringing in a Mason Crosby or Adam Vinatieri as a consultant? I wonder if it takes a kicker to fix a kicker, and quality long-term guys like that might get it when regular coaches don't.
I'd like to get like a Ronaldo. Messi.
Wait a minute. Who sent the text?
Great places,
it
great places.
No. Jason Ed.
Jackrabbit
Mama.
Weighs in
JRM.
With that idea.
All these guys have their personal kicking coaches, including the Narv dog. Now they're not.
Maybe he wants a new one.
Bring him to town.
If this is what your coach is giving you, I think it's. It is really difficult. Kicking is so mental. It is so mental. It's really hard to get over it. You have everybody judging you, and you're not hitting your stride. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult. I get it, man. It's tough. It is a tough deal. Hopefully he works through it, or hopefully Green Bay finds an alternative that's going to work, because this is not trending in the right way.
Yeah. All right, we'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
So Tausch is saving his Romeo Dobbs thoughts for tomorrow, so be sure to tune in for that. A quick little tidbit on the Narv dog, Braden Narveson's misses. He is 12 of 17 officially on the season. Remember, he also had another miss that was wiped out by penalty. He is 4 for 4 on kicks from 20 to 29 yards.
Wow,
3 for 4.
Keep it in there.
3 for 4 on kicks from 30 to 39 yards. 5 for 9 from 40 to 49 yards, and has not yet attempted a 50-yard field goal.
Because I'm telling you, it'd be better to let him try one. That's where he can gain some confidence, and nobody's that mad if you miss a 58-yard field goal.
We'll see what
That's
happens with him.
They should have done it when they were up 31-13 yesterday. They should have had him take one from 57. Just let it rip.
I totally agree with you, Jesse.
not what happened. That's it for us today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free.